The Milwaukee County Court is hearing an unusual gun case this week. Two police officers were shot in 2009. The firearm had been purchased at a local gun store, then handed off by the purchaser to the perpetrator. The officers who survived the shootings are now suing the company Badger Guns.
The issue of liability for gun manufacturers and retail providers doesn't often make it to the courts, and national experts say they have their eyes on this Wisconsin case as a possible precedent in future lawsuits.
John Diedrich joins us now. He covers crime and guns for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He is covering this trial. John, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Sure.
Well, give us the backstory on this case, a little more detail. What happened here?
Well, so this is the case of two Milwaukee police officers who were shot in 2009 on the south side of Milwaukee. As we came to find out later, the firearm that was used to shoot them had been purchased a month earlier by a straw buyer. That's somebody who's not buying the gun for himself, but for somebody who's not able to legally buy the gun themselves. Those two officers were among six who were wounded with guns that were sold by Badger Guns or Badger Outdoors over a 20-month period. And those two officers have sued Badger Guns, Badger Outdoors, and their owners, claiming negligence. And as you say, it's an unusual case to come to court because there's a federal law that passed 10 years ago that holds gun stores largely immune from such lawsuits.
But the idea here that the plaintiffs are making the case is that the gun store was negligent, extremely negligent in allowing straw purchases, again, a second party buying a gun and handing it off. So how are they making that claim of negligence here?
Well, so the law says that it protects gun stores involved in lawful commerce. And so the argument of the lawyers and for the police officers is that this was not lawful commerce, that in effect it was an illegal sale, that it was a straw purchase, violation of law, and that the store knew or should have known that they were breaking federal law and allowed it to go on anyway. So it's a big hurdle to clear. It's not insurmountable, or it wouldn't be in court here, but it is significant in that this is only the second such case to come to trial nationwide since the law passed in 2005.
As I understand it, in the trial, there's been testimony from people involved in the purchase and even some video of the purchase taking place. So what kind of things that happened that people are saying, hey, there should have been red flags, this business should have known this was a straw purchase?
Well, so the buyer comes in, Jacob Collins, and the person who's actually directing Collins to get the gun, Julius Burton, is also in the store. So that's a flag right away. Somebody comes in for the transaction, but he's not at the counter, but he's pointing out the gun at one point. It's not clear whether the clerk saw that or not. He says, that's the one I want. It's unclear whether the clerk saw it, but the experts that we've spoken to in the past, just the fact that you have somebody who's sort of in the store and their presence is not explained as a flag. Then the buyer, Jacob Collins, marks at one point on the form that he is the buyer, the true buyer, buying it for himself, and then he marks elsewhere on the form that he's not the buyer. And, that would be a red flag. The gun store says, well, he was just confused. He has trouble reading and so forth. But again, another opportunity to ask a question. Then at the time that they go to settle the transaction, Collins doesn't have enough money. So he and the true buyer, Julius Burton, leave the store, get more cash, and Collins comes back in to pay for the rest of the gun. So that's what the officer's attorney says, telltale signs of a straw sale.
And you reported that, I forget which of the two, Collins testified in this trial and said, hey, Badger Guns, everybody knew this was a go-to place to get guns. Can you tell us more about that testimony?
Well, this came actually from Burton himself.
Oh, from the perpetrator himself.
Yeah, that's right. He's serving an 80-year prison term. He's in Green Bay Correctional and testified in a recorded deposition today. And he said that it was just known to him. He couldn't specifically say who told him that, but that everybody knew that Badger was the place to come, and that he He had heard, you know, that, and so he said, well, you know, I'll go there. You know, what's interesting is that there are sort of quirks in the law, and he alluded to that today. I mean, he was not able to buy this gun because he's 18, from a gun store, a handgun. However, he could have gone to, a gun show, and bought the gun legally, or bought it, you know, from somebody else legally. 18-year-olds are allowed to buy it. It's just one of the quirks or loopholes, if you will, of the law. But he knew he couldn't buy a gun, a handgun, that is, as somebody who's not 21. And so, and he knew Badger Guns, from what he had heard, was the place to come and get such a firearm.
Talking to John Diedrich from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about this high-profile case getting a lot of national attention in Milwaukee County about liability for a gun store, and a gun that was purchased by a straw buyer, given to someone else who then used it in the shooting of two police officers. Now, I got to ask, John, I mean, this is the person who shot those officers. They're presumably there, too, because they're the plaintiffs in this case. What was the mood like in the courtroom, people with in this horrible story?
Well, it's been very tense at times. We just had testimony from Graham Kunich, the second officer. He and Brian Norberg were both shot, and it was very quiet in the courtroom as Officer Kunich, who's since left the department, testified. He has suffered, he lost his eye on the left side, and really it was a heroic effort by the folks at Frater in the medical college to save his life. But he's had brain damage, and they've talked about how he's really changed. His mood has changed, and he's more hair trigger in his mood and so forth. And just describing the shooting, both of them, you know, been very tense and sometimes traumatic testimony.
And the owner of Badger Guns also testified. What did the court hear from him?
Well, so what they said is they had, you know, that so there are two different owners who testified, and that's part of the claims of the officers as well, is that essentially they conspired together to defeat an effort by federal regulators to possibly close the store. That was contemplated in 2006, 2007. They testified basically that they had taken measures, that they have followed the rules as they were laid out by federal regulators, and that they, you know, had tried to prevent these sales, and that they essentially are not responsible for what happens to the guns when they leave the store, but that they took due diligence to take safeguards to make sure that they weren't conducting any illegal sales.
Now, obviously, in this case, the officers have a lot at stake. The gun store owner and previous owner have a lot at stake. Bigger picture, you mentioned the federal law making it difficult to sue a gun store owner, a gun manufacturer, for damages. Is this being looked at as a precedent if it keeps going forward in other cases, maybe in the state or around the country?
Well, certainly being watched. It's it was a case that was at one time the Brady Center was involved in this case, and there's a second suit also involving Milwaukee police officers that's scheduled to go to trial next year. We'll see if it does. But the first case, as I mentioned, this is the second. The first was in Alaska, and the gun store won in that case. So we'll see what happens here, though. The suspicion is, depending on the outcome, that there will likely be an appeal. These kinds of cases are, you know, aren't settled usually at this level. But it's certainly being watched, especially to see how the arguments that have been successful here, how could they be translated elsewhere. There's a lawsuit against the gun store that sold the firearm in the Newtown shooting, for instance, that has not gone to trial yet. But every case is a little bit different, but some of the same issues, if they are successful here, may end up showing up in other jurisdictions.
A lot of key parts of the story have already testified, the perpetrator, at least one of the officers, the gun store owner. What's the timeline now? How long are we expected to be hearing testimony before the jury goes behind closed doors?
Well, it's scheduled to be a three-week trial. We're at about a little over 2.5 weeks right now. The defense has yet to go and present their case, but that's always a shorter side than the plaintiff's case, at least typically. So we haven't heard from any defense witnesses at this point. But the major witnesses for the plaintiffs have testified. I'm sure we'll hear some more testimony tomorrow from the plaintiff's side, and then later this week it may switch to the defendant. And then we early next week is, I think, where this may be moving to closing arguments, though the schedule is yet to be fully fleshed out by the court.
And what is the status of the store itself, Badger Guns, these days? Are they still open for business? Have they done things in accordance with what the ATF was looking for?
Well, the gun store did close. At least the current license holder that sold the gun that wounded these two police officers, ATF revoked their license in 2011. And what happened then is the brother of the owner pulled the new license and opened the operation. Now, we haven't heard of any cases like this resulting from sales by that store. But essentially, the operation has moved from one family member to another and now to a third family member.
John, thanks a lot for sharing your coverage of this with us today.
Thanks so much.
That's John Diedrich. He's a reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joins us to talk about the ongoing Badger Guns trial in Milwaukee County.